Well, thank you very much. It is good to be here today. And for these last couple of weeks, we've kind of been in and out here, even though this is where my parents go, because we've been speaking in other churches as well. So this is actually in the 2.5 weeks we've been in this area, this will be the fourth time we've been able to share the ministry of Siloam Missionary Homes. So it's been a good trip, but it's also been a very busy trip. My dad's been making me work, you know, to earn the food I've been eating. So we've been cutting wood and stacking wood, and I don't know, we've kept busy, but it's been a good trip. I do want to introduce my wife, Valerie. She can just wave. I won't make her stand. And then my daughter, Anna, and my son, Micah, are with us on this trip. And then my oldest daughter, Emily, lives in Wilmington, so she was not able to come with us. So the Lord has opened the door for us to be on staff at Siloam Missionary Homes. And the ministry of Siloam is two missionaries who are either headed to the field or back from the field for various reasons. And so I just want to share a little bit about Siloam Missionary Homes and about how God led us there. And then we're going to take a look at a scripture. You can be turning to Matthew 11:28. We're going to take a look this morning at finding rest for your soul, because this has a lot to do with what we do at Siloam Missionary Homes. So I do want to start off by sharing a little bit of our testimony, just briefly, hopefully as a way of encouragement to you, that I know for our family, God led us on a path that we were not expecting in a time frame we were not planning, but He led us in the way that we were supposed to go, and I just want to share it briefly with you so that you can be encouraged. Maybe you're at a point in your life or a stage of your life where you're not where you thought you'd be at this point in time. But know that if you're serving God and obedient to God, He has you where He wants you. Our family, when Valerie and I met at Bob Jones University as students, the Lord had called both of us to the mission field of Quebec. And so when we graduated from school and started graduate school, we began making plans to be missionaries to the field of Quebec to go there as church planters. We found a couple that was already ministering in Quebec where we could go and learn, kind of be tutored by him or trained by him or mentored by him and his family in a ministry in Quebec while we were attending language school. We even had a family that were friends of ours from Bob Jones that moved to Quebec to be part of our ministry team. And so we went on deputation. We were out in Kansas a couple different times on deputation. And we were at the point where we had nearly 80% of our support. We sold our house in South Carolina, moved in with my in-laws temporarily in North Carolina. And we made one last deputation trip out to Kansas kind of before we were ready to move to Quebec. And while we were out here, my wife got bit by a tick and contracted Lyme disease, and it was actually the second time that she'd had Lyme disease. She'd gotten it while in college, and this second time just really took a toll on her physically. And it got to the point where she just really wasn't able to function on a day-to-day basis like she needed to. And so here we are living in her parents' house in two bedrooms in their house. We have most of our support needed to go to Quebec, but we have a physical need that we need to deal with. And so after much prayer and the Lord's directing, the Lord opened up a job for me working for a health insurance company in North Carolina. What better place to work when you need health insurance and lots of bills to be paid than the health insurance company? So for 5 years, I spent time working in the communications department for Blue Cross of North Carolina. And then the Lord opened the door for me to become the operations manager for the Blue Cross Foundation. And we did grant making in North Carolina. And so I had the opportunity to manage a significantly large budget of about $12 to $14 million a year, and also to manage all of our systems, all of our policies, all of our contracting, all of our vendors, all those types of things. I had the opportunity to do that for 7 years. And during that time, I will be honest with you, there were moments and days and sometimes weeks and months where both my wife and I thought, God, what are you doing? Why do you have us here when this is not where we're supposed to be? Now, I'm sure none of you have ever thought that ever in your life, that you've never told God this is not where you're supposed to be. But we thought that, and we grew discouraged. We didn't understand. Why do you have us in a place that is not the place we thought we were supposed to go? And it was during that time that we stayed busy in ministry. I actually served as interim pastor for a couple of years during that time. Then we moved to another church, and I actually led worship there for a couple of years, became an adult Sunday school teacher, joined the missions committee. We were active. It's not like we were sitting around doing nothing, but we didn't feel like we were doing what God had called us to, and we grew frustrated by that. And it was during the time at that church that God brought somebody in during a missions conference that began our journey to Siloam. So the founding director and his wife are still with Siloam Missionary Homes, but they came to our church during a missions conference, and they showed a video of the property and the missionaries and the kids who were coming to stay there, and something about it just really interested me. I went as a camper to the Wilds of the Rockies for several years. That's no longer there, but then I spent a summer as a counselor there. And the property just reminded me a lot of that type of setting. And it was one of those things where in the back of my head I thought, oh, that's very interesting. Well, a few years later, while on the missions committee, my pastor, who is a founding board member for Siloam Missionary Homes, he came to the committee meeting and he said, you know, we really need to pray for Larry and Joyce George of Siloam Missionary Homes. They just found out that Larry's been diagnosed with Parkinson's and they just don't know what they're going to do. And so I talked with him after that because I remembered seeing the video of Siloam Missionary Homes. And so I went to Pastor and I said, well, you know, do they have anybody on staff that's going to be able to become the next director? And he said, they don't. They had thought for years that their daughter and their son-in-law and daughter, who had been on staff, would be the next director, and he felt the Lord leading him somewhere else, did not feel he was equipped to be the next director, and so they moved. And Larry and Joyce were devastated by that. Then shortly after that is when they got the diagnosis of Parkinson's, and they were kind of at their wit's end. And so I went back and I told Valerie about the place, and I said, you know, I just can't get it out of my head. I really feel like I need to go see Siloam Missionary Homes. So I made arrangements with my pastor to go visit, and on a Saturday, he and I went out to Siloam Missionary Homes. We got a tour of the property from Larry and Joyce, and we sat down and had opportunity to talk for a little while, talk about what their needs were, what they were thinking. And when we left, I looked at my pastor and I said, do you think there'd be a place for me there? And he looked at me and he said, I think you'd be an answer to prayer. And I went back home and I told my wife, I said, you know, just being on the property there, it just feels like home. It just feels like where we're, and she hadn't even been there yet. So I'm telling her all this. She hasn't even been on the property yet. And so we were able to go then visit a little bit later. And so I went back to my pastor and I said, you know, I'd really like to at least get involved with Siloam Missionary Homes, and maybe there is a door open here for us. And so I went in January a couple years ago to a board meeting just to see how things went and how things were run. I ended up joining the board that day and became the vice chair of the board. So be careful what you wish for when you want to get involved with organizations, because you may get more than you bargained for. So I spent a year on the board kind of serving and volunteering and helping out and seeing what the ministry was like. And I really felt that the Lord was continuing to lead us to pursue that opportunity. But we didn't know how that was going to open up or whether it would be possible, because Siloam really didn't have the finances to pay another staff member. And I didn't have the ability to go do, you know, work full time for free. That just wasn't going to work. So after a year of serving on the board, one of the blessings of working at Blue Cross was we had flexible work arrangements. So if we needed to work from home, we could work from home. So I went to my boss and I said, you know what? I'd really like to learn more about what goes on at Siloam. Is there any way possible that I could work from home on Mondays from Siloam? And she agreed. She let me do that. And so for another year, actually more than a year, about a year and 3 months, I actually went every Monday to Siloam Missionary Homes, and I worked for Blue Cross and also did accounts receivable and answered to phones and other things for Siloam Missionary Homes, so I could start to get a feel for the ministry. And the Lord just continued to confirm for our family that that was where He wanted us to be. And so a year ago in April, we were able to transition from Blue Cross to Siloam Missionary Homes. And for 2 months, I drove back and forth. It was about a 40-minute drive each day. I drove back and forth. And then in June of last year, we moved on site into one of the missionary homes. About 3 weeks before we left on this trip, we were able to actually move into what will be our home, hopefully for the next several years, to the director's home at Siloam. So we still have boxes all over the house right now. In fact, that's already on my mind that when we get home, we've got boxes to deal with. And in way of a prayer request, we actually still own our house that we had been living in as well. And we really need to get that on the market and get it sold. But somebody has work to do on that house and hasn't gotten around to it yet. So that's a prayer request for you. But that's how the Lord directed us to Siloam Missionary Homes. And the reason I say I want to share that as an encouragement to you, I used to believe that God had taken us on a detour, that we were headed to Quebec and God detoured us. Well, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that God ever takes us on detours. I believe God has a plan and a path for our lives, and we just need to trust Him that where we're at, when we're obedient to Him, is where we're supposed to be. That He has a plan in place, and we just need to be obedient and trust Him. So that is how we ended up at Siloam Missionary Homes. So hopefully what you're thinking while I'm talking about all this is, well, what in the world do they do? What is Siloam Missionary Homes? So let me share some about that, and then we'll get into the passage that I directed you to go to. Siloam Missionary Homes, as the name speaks of, is about housing for missionaries, but it's about a whole lot more than that. We do have, our primary campus is a 33-acre campus. We have 13 missionary homes and a couple of staff houses. We have an office building, a maintenance shop, a clothing store, a food store where we provide food for free that's donated to us, to our missionaries. But it's not just about those things. It's not just about the campus. It's not just about the buildings or the property. It's about providing a place for missionaries to come back and re-equip themselves for ministry. You can ask your pastor, being in the ministry is not easy. Being in the ministry is hard. Having the opportunity to, as a minister of the gospel, as a servant of Jesus Christ in full-time service, having a place and the time to renew is hard, is it not? It's hard to take time, because if you're here, you're on call. If you're away, you're sometimes still on call. You've still got things to deal with, and missionaries are no different. And so Siloam Missionary Homes provides houses for them. One of the reasons that we started off focusing on housing is that when missionaries come home from the field, that was the first thought, when they come home from the field, oftentimes they're still paying for a house on the field. And so to come back to the United States and then pay full price for another house, how many of you can afford to pay for two houses all the time? That's hard. And so the houses we provide, we charge a maintenance fee. It's a small fraction of what it costs for us to maintain those homes. Our homes range from a 500-square-foot apartment up to a 3,000-square-foot house. We can manage to host a couple or a family with 10 kids. And our maintenance fee, the highest maintenance fee we charge is $450 a month. That's the largest maintenance fee we charge, plus utilities. So for the average family in the area in which we live, if you were to go rent a 1,600-square-foot house in Burlington, North Carolina, just to put it in perspective, the rent would be $1,200 to $1,300 a month plus utilities. And so they pay significantly less for our area than what it would cost to live in a comparable home, though I promise you the neighborhoods in Burlington are not nearly as safe as our campus at Siloam. So that's part of what we provide is the housing, but it's more than that. We also provide an opportunity for them to be spiritually renewed. We actually have a staff pastor, a staff counselor, who is available just for the missionaries. Because what happens, what we don't really think about with missionaries is if they're struggling spiritually, who do they turn to? In our culture, in our society today in the United States, if you call your sending church and say, you know what, I'm struggling with depression, more than likely you're not going to get spiritual help, you're going to get your finances cut off. That's just the reality in which we live. I don't understand that reality. I don't understand why people think missionaries are any different than normal people, because they are normal people, but they have needs that sometimes they have no place to turn. And so we provide a place for them not only to stay, but also to be able to just kind of decompress from their ministry, to kind of be able to unburden themselves and be able to focus on their walk with Jesus Christ so they can be renewed to go back to the field. And if we can't handle their needs, we actually have a relationship with local Christian counselors who can deal with more difficult things that maybe we're not equipped to deal with. Let me give you an example of that, just so you know what I'm talking about. We had a family this last year living in a Central American country. They had triplets who were 15 years old, and their country underwent a revolution. And there were people, there was fighting in the streets right outside their house, their apartment. They realized later in the afternoon that they had to leave. They were in physical danger. They grabbed what they could carry in their two hands and they left their country, never knowing if they would return. They got back to the States. They went directly to their mission board, and their kids could not cope. The triplets had no idea how to handle the fact that everything they had ever known had just gotten torn from them. They had grown up on the mission field. For them, the mission field was home, and they didn't know if they'd ever get to go home again. Their mission board knew of Siloam and said, you know what, we're not equipped to handle what these kids are going through. They sent them to Siloam missionary homes because they knew they would have a quiet place to stay. Those three kids went to counseling in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, at the Christian Counselor, who specializes in dealing with missionaries who've been through trauma situations. Now, what did they need? They needed 6 weeks of quiet, 6 weeks of no pressure, 6 weeks of not having anybody look at those kids and say, well, why are they struggling? They're struggling because they're human beings, and they needed a place to go where they could recover from what they had been through. And so that's what we offer at Siloam Missionary Homes, is that place where they can get refreshed and renewed. The great thing for a lot of these missionaries, they're used to being, typically, if they're in a third world country, they're used to living on a compound in a gated setting. So when they come to Siloam, our entire campus is enclosed with fencing and is gated. And it's that sense of security that when they come back here, they have the same feeling they have on the field, that they've got that place that's safe. And we also then provide a sense of community for these missionaries. There are some missionaries who do not work with teams. They're working by themselves, and when they come back, they're able to interact with other missionaries and be able to have that sense of community with other Christians, and they can talk through stuff. Hey, well, what do you face? What do you face? How do you deal with this problem? How do you deal with this issue? And they're able to have that sense of community. And the great thing is, at Siloam, we don't pressure the families to interact with each other if they don't want to, or to interact with. Sometimes they just need a couple months of quiet, a couple months of seclusion, a couple months of being alone, because they've been under the spotlight for so long and under intense pressure, they just need that time, and we allow them that time. We encourage the missionaries to get together. We encourage the missionaries to interact with each other. We have events every month where we invite the families and the staff to join together to eat a meal or to do an activity. And we interact with them as much or as little as they need. But the whole point of Siloam Missionary Homes is so God's servants have a place to come back, to be safe, to grow, to be refreshed spiritually, to be refreshed physically, so they can go back to where God has called them and be renewed and ready to serve again. And they need that. The missionaries need that. How do we function then as Siloam Missionary Homes? And that's the reason I'm actually out on deputation, our maintenance fees that we charge the missionaries don't remotely cover our costs. So we are primarily faith supported, just like the missionaries are. We have a lot of individuals and a lot of churches that support us individually. that either give to the general fund or give specifically to one of the staff members. And that's how God meets our needs. I tell you what, I'm amazed how God meets needs for equipment, for volunteers. Most of our big work projects at Siloam are done with volunteers. Volunteers who not only pay for the materials for their project, but then come do the project. It's just amazing to see God's people do these things. And I do have information at the back. I have our latest newsletter. One of our missionaries that's currently staying on site is on deputation, and he wanted to share what he saw from his perspective as a missionary, how he views Siloam. So he wanted you all to be able to see what a missionary sees. So our latest newsletter is from a missionary's perspective, and he interviewed all the staff members and wrote the entire newsletter. So I'd love for you to take one, sign up for our newsletter if you would like, and then we have our prayer cards back there as well. But we function as a faith-based ministry as well. We rely on the gifts and support and prayers of people like you and churches like you. So we actually, our entire campus, we have a farm as well, and we use the animals with the missionaries. It's scientifically proven that interacting with animals reduces stress. Now, some of you who farm may disagree, but in the right setting, animals can be used to help with our ministry at Siloam. And that, so we actually have sheep and goats, alpacas, ducks, chickens, and guineas to help control our tick population. And so we have all those animals on site to help with our ministry to not only the missionaries, but we've actually have an opportunity now. We've been given a farm just down the road from a local elementary school, and we're going to be establishing an educational program for that elementary school where we can share the gospel on a regular basis by sharing a shepherd's view of life. So we're going to use the sheep to share the gospel with public school children on our farm. So we're excited about that. But we manage a total of 44 acres, 20 plus buildings, with 8 full-time and part-time staff members and a lot of volunteers. And we do that on an annual budget of about $360,000 a year. So we make the dollars stretch sometimes way further than they should. But God is good, and he always meets our needs. But that's the ministry of Siloam and what we do and how we go about it. Now I want to share with you briefly why it's important. And so turn to, if you haven't already, Matthew chapter 11. And I hope as we look at these few verses, not only will you understand why our ministry at Siloam is important, but I hope you'll be encouraged as well, because the principles that we put in place at Siloam are just God's principles for meeting our needs as Christians. We have just chosen to do it with a focus on missionaries, but God has these words to offer to all of us as believers. So I hope you'll find this encouraging this morning. Finding rest for your soul. That's what God wants for us. Look at verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I believe that one of the myths of Christianity is that when we are going through difficult times, a lot of times what you'll hear people say is, "Well, you just need to stick with it. You just need to buck up. You just need to stand strong." Well, that's true, but Scripture tells us we're to take our burdens to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells us, in his own words, that he wants to help bear our burdens when we are going through difficult times. And so we view, I think, sometimes missionaries and pastors and evangelists as some kind of super Christian. Let me tell you, missionaries, evangelists, and pastors are not super Christians. They're not. They're human beings. They're just everyday, ordinary people who God has saved through his grace and mercy, whom God has called to do a specific task to meet the needs of the body of Christ, but they face the same struggles you do in the same way you do. And so these words of Jesus Christ are not just for his servants, they're for everyone. And as members of the church, we need to understand that his servants that serve full time are just like us. They face the same struggles, the same difficulties, only on a magnified basis. But if we think that a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist never gets discouraged, never gets depressed, never has issues, we're wrong, because they do. But for some reason, we don't want to give them the opportunity to deal with it. We think less of them because they struggle with those things. Why? If you struggle with it, why wouldn't your pastor or your missionaries or your evangelist struggle with those things? They're human beings too. And Christ has a message here that says, you need to come to me, I'm willing to share your burdens, and that's what we do at Siloam. We give the missionaries a place to do that. A place where they are comfortable to be able to turn to Jesus Christ with their needs and have their needs met. Siloam is not a replacement for God. Siloam is not a replacement for the Scripture. Siloam is a place that accompanies and assists missionaries to turn to the one they should be turning to for help, and that is Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at a few principles from this passage that I hope are encouraging to you as believers. Number one, when Christ calls us to share our burdens with him, he is calling us to do this because he has the authority and the power to give us rest. Don't you hate it when somebody promises you something and you find out later they don't have the authority to give it to you? That just drives me nuts. How many of you have ever shopped for a car and the salesperson has to keep leaving you to go ask the manager if the price you're offering is okay? Has that ever happened to you? I sat one time, I was negotiating on a car, and the guy left like three or four times to go ask, because we weren't willing to pay their price. I had a price I was going to pay, and I wasn't going to buy it if I didn't pay that price. And he kept leaving and coming back, and finally I was like, will you just bring your manager, please? Please, just bring him out here or her out here, because this is the price I'm going to pay, and I need a person who has what? The authority to give me that price. You clearly don't. Well, Jesus Christ here says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you look back at verse 27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. I am representing God the Father. I have all authority and power to meet your needs, so bring them to me, because I have the authority and the power to deal with them. I want to give you rest. I make a promise to you as a believer today that if you are struggling, if you are discouraged, if you are facing things that you feel are beyond your capabilities, come and bring them to me because I have the authority and the power to do something about it. Doesn't that encourage you as a believer? That the God of all creation says, bring your needs and your burdens and your struggles to me and I'll do something about it. And guess what? He has the authority and the power to do it. That is a wonderful blessing. When missionaries come to Siloam Missionary Homes, we provide them a place where they can go to Jesus Christ. We actually have a little chapel on campus, and we have several missionaries who will go and have their devotions there, both individually and as couples, and sometimes even as families. Because they are going to God and they are saying, God, I claim your promise that if we bring our burdens to you, we will find rest. That promise is not just made to those who are in full-time Christian service. It is made to all believers. You too can claim this promise and know that Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to meet your need and give you rest. Now, I don't know about you, but when I face difficult situations, I am thankful that I have this promise, that I have this knowledge, that I serve a God who wants to do something for me and can do something about it. Think about the prophets of Baal when they were in that spiritual battle with Elijah. And they had set up their altar and they were asking their god, Baal, to burn up the altar. Do you remember what Elijah said during that incident up on Mount Carmel? Well, maybe Baal's asleep. You remember that? Maybe he's gone away to a far country and he can't hear you. That is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. We have a God who is present. We have a God who hears us. We have a God who wants to do things for us. All we have to do is bring our burdens and our needs to him, and he says, I will give you rest. What a blessed promise that we have as believers. But I love the next verse, because not only does he have the power and authority to give us rest, he also desires to teach us to rest in him because he understands what we're going through. Look at the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus Christ is physically on the earth when he says these words. He was born into this world just like we are born into this world, as a tiny baby in a physical body, facing the same struggles, the same pains, the same difficulties that we face. And Christ is now teaching his disciples and those around him, look, I have the power and authority to give you rest, and oh, by the way, I understand what you're going through. I have walked in your shoes. You know, nothing drives me more nuts than hearing somebody who's worth $1 billion saying they understand what I'm going through. No, they do not. Somebody who Bill and Melinda Gates have no clue what real life is like. They have servants that clean their house. They have drivers that drive them places. They have planes that another pilot flies them to places. They have people that do their giving through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They don't really do much for themselves. They do not know what I go through on a daily basis. They have no clue. No clue. So if they were to come to me and to say, I know what you're going through, I would laugh. Because they don't. They don't know what I'm going through. My budget at Siloam is a drop in the bucket compared to what they make and what they give through their foundation. They do not know what I am going through. But you know what? Jesus Christ says, I do. And he does. Because he's lived as one of us on this earth. He has faced the struggles that we face. Read through the Gospels and see Jesus Christ had emotional ups and downs just like we do as human beings. The difference is he never sinned. The difference is he never took his eyes off the Father and the Father's plan. We do. We fail God. We fall flat on our face. But Jesus Christ has been in our shoes. He has successfully lived a sinless life as a human in a human body on this earth. And so when he says, learn of me to rest. I want to teach you how to rest in me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. What he's saying there is, I have walked in your shoes. Not only do I have the authority to grant you rest, I have the understanding of what it means to be a human being on this earth. He can have empathy with us because he knows what he's going through. I'll share an example of this. We've all probably had either ourselves, our spouse, our children, a parent, somebody we know has been through probably some difficult physical situation. How many times has somebody come up to you and said, oh, I'm praying for you, I know what you're going through? How many of those people have actually been through what that person is going through? We experienced this with my wife, with Lyme disease. A lot of people have not had Lyme disease. A lot of people do not understand at all what it does to a person. In fact, even the people who've had it can respond very differently to it. It affects people differently. So when somebody comes up and says, I know what you're going through, I want to say, have you ever had Lyme disease? Has your spouse ever had Lyme disease? And if the answer is no, then you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what my wife is going through. Those of you that have had cancer understand this. Somebody comes up and says, I know what you're going through. Well, have you had cancer? Well, no. Then you don't know what I'm going through. But Jesus Christ does. Because what he's focused on here is our spiritual walk. And he says in the scripture, I am meek and lowly in heart. I have been in a human body. I am here with you right now. I am suffering the same things that you are. So if you will come to me, I will give rest to your soul. And he can say that because he can truly empathize with us. He can truly understand what we're going through. And he wants to give us rest. Now, the last thing that I want us to see from this passage is this: for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, those of you that understand the farming term that's being used here, when a yoke is hooked up to a team back in the past times of oxen or horses to pull something, are they getting ready to pull something that is a featherweight? Or are they getting ready to do some work? They're getting ready to do some work. The yoke is synonymous with work. The yoke is synonymous with labor. The yoke is synonymous with something that is heavy and difficult. And yet Christ says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what is Christ saying here? Is he saying, if you will serve me, if you will come to me with all of your needs and your burdens, I will take away every care that you ever have in the world? Is that what Jesus is saying? No, it is not. What he is saying is, when I am with you, when I am helping you, when I am giving you strength and I am giving you sustenance, you will be able to go through your difficult situation as if the burden is easy and as if the burden is light. It's a comparison to what it would be like if we were doing it on our own. And let's face it, we all know what it's like to try to bear burdens on our own because we've all done it. We have all tried to get through life's difficult situations on our own, and more times than not, the burden just keeps getting heavier. And we keep struggling more. And we keep wondering, Lord, why is this burden so heavy? And he's sitting up there saying, because you're not bringing it to me. You're not turning it over to me. You keep trying to do this on your own. I'm waiting. My arms are open. Turn your burdens over to me. If you will do that, the burden, the yoke will be easy and the burden will be light. To highlight the contrast he's making here, think about the other scripture where he's talking about loving him and following him and serving him. And Jesus Christ told somebody who asked him, what do I need to do to follow you? And he says, you must hate your mother and hate your father and hate your brother and hate your sister. Was Jesus Christ saying, in order to follow him, you have to hate everybody around you? Is that what he was saying? No, he was not. What he was saying is, your love for me, your desire to serve me, and your desire to please me should make your love for everyone else around you, there should be that much of a contrast. It's like you don't care about them because you love me so much and want to serve me. That's the contrast he's making. Well, that's the same idea here. It's a contrast. If you're doing things on your own, it's like you're carrying a 1,000-pound weight on your shoulders all the time. That's what it's like doing it on your own. But if you will bring it to me, I will help with that. I will support you. I will uplift you. I will strengthen you to handle what's coming your way. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, at Siloam Missionary Homes, I promise you, we as staff members have problems too. We have struggles too. We have to focus on our walk with Jesus Christ every day. We have to focus on our testimony on site with our staff members and with the missionaries and in the community. We have to focus on living as a Christian just like the missionaries do. But we also, as a ministry to those missionaries, we want to give them a place where they can come and they can find this rest that Jesus Christ offers, where we can point them in the right direction and give them a place and the tools and the counsel that they need to help them find rest for their soul. Now, examine your life as a believer, as a Christian who is just seeking to please God every day. Are there times where you feel your soul is at struggle with yourself, with Satan, with the world? I'm sure we can all think of those times. Now magnify that. for a missionary, for an evangelist, for a pastor. They deal with all those things that you deal with, but then they also deal with you, right? You're coming to them and saying, I'm struggling with this. I need some guidance. I need some counsel. So now they've got their burdens and your burdens too. And they've got the budget and the ministry and the people and the buildings and all this other stuff to deal with. That's what missionaries deal with on the field, is all those things plus the people that, plus themselves. And sometimes they need a place where they can come back and deal with themselves. And that's not wrong, because God has called them to the ministry, and if they don't have the right walk with God themselves, how can they minister on God's behalf? Even you in your walk with Jesus Christ, as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ is reaching out to you and saying, look, I want you to bring your burdens to me. You do not need to walk through this life and carry your struggles on your own. I am open and ready and willing to help. You just need to come to me. I have the authority and the power to give you rest. I have an understanding of what you have been through. I have walked in your shoes. And if you will bring your burdens to me, they will be light compared to what you're doing on your own. That is an encouragement to us as believers. I hope for you today that if you are struggling, or when you struggle, you can take it to Jesus and he will help you. But I also hope that you understand that the ministry that we have at Siloam Missionary Homes, this is what we try to do for our missionaries that come. We have served over 300 missionaries from 97 countries in 26 years at Siloam. We're in our 27th year, and we hope we keep doing this until the Lord returns, because it's a necessary ministry. If it's important for Christians on an everyday basis, it's that much more important for those that are out there in the trenches serving him in places that we can't even imagine going, let alone living. And these people need a place where they can find the rest for their souls that Jesus offers. So I hope this morning that, number one, you understand what we do at Siloam and why it's important. But number two, I hope that you're encouraged as a believer that we serve a God who cares about us, a God who wants to help us, a God who wants to make our burdens light, because he loves us. And he cares for us, and he wants to meet our needs. We just have to take them to him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to not only consider the ministry of Siloam, but also to look at your word. And Lord, in our society today, if there's ever a need for us to be able to turn our burdens over to somebody, the need is now. And I just pray that we would be encouraged to walk with you, to be listening to our own spiritual needs, so that we can trust in you and rely on you for our sustenance, for our life every day. Lord, you're waiting with open arms to strengthen and carry us, and I pray that we would turn to you and trust in you the way that we should. We ask this in your name. Amen.